Good afternoon, buenas tardes. My name is Diana Cortez, City Solicitor, and I want to thank you all for joining us here today following an incredibly important argument in front of the Pennsylvania Supreme Court in the case of Crawford et al. Versus Commonwealth et al., a lawsuit brought by the one and only City of Philadelphia and co-petitioners that challenge the constitutionality of Pennsylvania's firearm preemption laws. We filed this lawsuit against the Commonwealth in 2020, seeking a permanent injunction preventing further enforcement of the Commonwealth's firearm preemption laws, which prevent Philadelphia and other municipalities in Pennsylvania from implementing sensible, reasonable gun safety laws that are scientifically proven to save lives. As of today, with 110 days left in 2023, over 1,000 people have been shot by a firearm in Philadelphia. Of these shot, more than 269 have lost their lives. Despite this ongoing gun violence epidemic, the Commonwealth has repeatedly blocked, ignored, disregarded city officials and their voices, but blocked city officials from enforcing laws such as the three advanced in our petition: permit to purchase ordinances, one gun per month, and extreme risk protection orders. As Philadelphia communities are traumatized over and over again by gun violence, the pleas of our residents and our local officials for gun safety have gone, again, unanswered and disregarded by the General Assembly. With the facts and case law presented in our legal argument today, we are hopeful and confident that the Pennsylvania Supreme Court will reverse the previous
Hey, council members and participants, we are now live.
Good afternoon, everyone. Today is Wednesday, October 11th of 2023. I understand that the state law currently requires that the following announcement be made at the beginning of every remote public hearing as follows. Due to the current public health emergency, city council committees are currently meeting remotely. We are using Microsoft Teams to make these remote hearings possible. Instructions for how the public may view and offer public testimony at public hearings of council committees are included in the public hearing notices that are published in the Daily News, Enquirer, and Legal Intelligencer prior to the hearings, and can also be found on philcouncil.com. Will the clerk please call the roll to take attendance? Members that are in attendance will please indicate that they are present when their names are called. Also, please say a few brief words when responding so that your image will be displayed on screen when you speak. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Councilmember Mark Squilla.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. I'm present.
Councilmember Curtis Jones, Jr.
Good afternoon, Chairman. Good afternoon, colleagues. I'm present.
Councilmember Kendra Brooks.
Good afternoon, Chairman and colleagues. I'm present.
Councilmember Sharon Vaughn.
Good afternoon, Chairman and colleagues. Good morning. Good afternoon.
And Councilmember Anthony Phillips.
Good afternoon, viewing public. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and colleagues. I'm present.
Thank you. A quorum of the committee is present, and this hearing is now called to order. This is the public hearing of the Committee on Transportation and Public Utilities regarding Resolution 230533, will the clerk please read the title of the resolution?
Resolution 230533, a resolution authorizing the Committee on Transportation and Public Utilities to hold public hearings to examine the impacts of and funding alternatives for an extension of the existing Broad Street subway line into the underserved Northeast along the Roosevelt Boulevard.
Before we begin to hear testimony from the witnesses we have for today, everyone who has been invited to the meeting to testify should be aware that this public hearing is being recorded. Because the hearing is public, participants and viewers have no reasonable expectation of privacy. By continuing to be in the meeting, you are consenting to being recorded. Additionally, prior to recognizing members for the questions or comments they have for witnesses, I will note for the record at this time that they will use the chat feature available in Microsoft Teams to allow members to signify that they wish to be recognized in order to comply with the Sunshine Act. The chat feature must only be used for this purpose. At this time, I want to acknowledge Councilmember Mark Driscoll for remarks as the lead sponsor of the bill.
Thank you, members of the committee, and thank you, Chairman Johnson, for convening this meeting. You know, this project is a referendum on our city and on our Commonwealth. Is this a place that cowers in the face of challenging opportunities? Or is this a place that sees the future coming and charges at it at full speed? As anyone who has come to my office would know, I greatly admire President John F. Kennedy. Just over 61 years ago, JFK proclaimed, "We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard." For many, especially our city's most vulnerable, going to and from the Northeast is just as hard as it is going to the moon. And I challenge this council, this administration, and the next, our state and federal partners, PennDOT, SEPTA, to shoot for the moon. I challenge us to lift thousands out of a transit desert. I challenge us to connect nearly 500,000 people to our region's economic and job core. I challenge us to address the housing supply crisis by building thousands of units directly along this new rapid transit corridor for the working class residents of our city. I challenge us to directly create thousands of family-sustaining union jobs and induce a quarter century of private sector investment worth billions of dollars. We choose to build this subway in this decade and uplift hundreds of thousands of our neighbors, not because it is easy, but because it is hard. Because our city and its residents deserve world-class infrastructure. Because we believe and know that this is a world-class city. The days of hand-wringing and pessimistic perspectives are behind us. Our city must chart a new path forward. No project will shift our paradigm more than the Roosevelt Boulevard subway. If this project is to happen, all stakeholders must come together and shoot for the moon because this train is leaving the station. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Any other comments from members of the committee? I just want to say, Councilman Curtis Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to applaud Member Driscoll. As we look to the future of this city, one of the things over time I've noticed is that we tend to think small. This project is thinking big, and the connectivity that will come from it will shape how workers move back and forth major portion of Philadelphia. So I just want to just say that you challenge City Council, we accept.
Thank you, Councilman Jones. Any other comments from members of the committee? I just want to take a moment also to acknowledge the inspiring and most importantly, empowering remarks from Councilman Driscoll. When we talk about equity when it comes to transportation, this is a project that will support everyone, regardless of their neighborhood, checkbook, pocketbook, and or their zip code. This is an opportunity for us to come together as a city and make sure there's equitable resource and support as relates to transportation for all members and residents and citizens here in this great city of Philadelphia. So thank you for stepping up and making sure your residents and your constituents in Northeast Philadelphia, issues and priorities are heard loud and clear when it comes to building a new transportation system along the Roosevelt Boulevard to the Northeast. So thank you very much, my friend, and you keep up the good work.
Thank you,
Mr. Chairman. And with that being said, would a clerk please call the first panel?
First to testify, we have Jennifer Doherty.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Council. Jennifer. Just state
Thank
your
you.
Name for the record and please begin.
Good afternoon, Councilman Johnson, Councilman Driscoll, and members of the Committee on Transportation and Public Utilities. My name is Jennifer Doherty, and I'm the manager of long-range planning at SEPTA. SEPTA service is the backbone of mobility, economic growth, safety, and transit-oriented community development in southeastern Pennsylvania. And I appreciate the opportunity to speak about the future of transit and the impacts and alternatives related to extending the Broad Street line along Roosevelt Boulevard. SEPTA is thankful for City Council's leadership and funding support for our highest priority initiatives, including your continued advocacy surrounding the impending $240 million fiscal cliff and local funding options needed to support large-scale projects of regional significance, such as those proposed for the Roosevelt Boulevard. SEPTA Board Chairman Pat Dion and CEO Leslie Richards are grateful for your proactive engagement with the General Assembly and the Governor. More than ever, the health and prosperity of our region are tied to the strength and success of SEPTA. As SEPTA continues working to rebuild ridership coming out of the pandemic, we welcome any opportunity to advance initiatives that will put more people on SEPTA and explore opportunities to expand service where practical. This hearing is an important next step in the initial assessment of the Broad Street Line extension concept, and SEPTA looks forward to being an integral partner in productive analysis of transfer options and working with stakeholders to advance solutions. Roosevelt Boulevard is a critical transit corridor today, carrying multiple SEPTA bus routes and serving thousands of customers. SEPTA is proud to be an original stakeholder and funder of the Roosevelt Boulevard Route for Change plan, and SEPTA is excited to partner with PennDOT, the City of Philadelphia, Bucks County, and other key stakeholders on planning, design, and implementation of improvement projects along the boulevard. The Route for Change initiative was awarded $78 million in federal funding that will enable a series of first-of-its-kind interventions in Philadelphia that will strengthen transit along the boulevard, including establishment of business access or transit bat lanes, simplified and safer intersections, and transit priority. These improvements will enhance SEPTA investments such as Boulevard Direct Bus Service, improved bus stop construction within a transportation center. More ambitious plans to transform Roosevelt Boulevard are part of the current PennDOT Route for Change alternative refinement and short-term improvement projects. I see that there's a question.
I
was going to wait, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
Yes, when you finish your testimony, Jennifer?
Yes.
Councilman Curtis Jones.
Thank you. And again, with all of this infrastructure money coming from the federal government, the idea of thinking big is truly appropriate. A couple of questions. If we do this route, how many stops are you proposing?
Would you like to for me to finish my testimony and then I can begin to answer questions? Or
I asked, did you finish? I didn't know. I thought you said.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. Please
I apologize.
Finish your testimony.
This 2040 alternatives process provides a platform for how the boulevard can be reimagined by knitting communities together, providing dedicated space for transit, and improving safety and mobility for everyone. We understand that PennDOT is providing a status update to the committee that will include an overview and key milestones dates, and they are working to finalize a date and location for the next public meeting as a part of their study. SEPTA is providing data, guidance, staffing, and technical assistance on the project, and we are excited to see what the information and analysis reveal. It's heartening to see the enthusiasm for improved transit on Roosevelt Boulevard and the renewed interest in a Broad Street line extension. But funding challenges loom large over every service and planning decision SEPTA considers, including large-scale projects such as those proposed for Roosevelt Boulevard. SEPTA is in the final year of its one-time federal COVID relief funding, and the authority is preparing for an operating fiscal cliff that could drastically limit the service SEPTA is able to provide. Next July, SEPTA faces annual reoccurring budget deficits of more than $240 million that will require some combination of severe service cuts, significant fare increases, and deferred state of good repair projects, unless sustainable operating funding can be secured to maintain SEPTA's vital service. Similarly, recent experience highlights how SEPTA's capital budget, as currently constituted and funded, does not have the flexibility to support major expansion or capacity enhancement projects, while also maintaining our vehicle and infrastructure state of good repair commitments. SEPTA strategic plan identified a program of initiatives and projects of regional significance that align with our vision for an intuitive, seamless transit network. SEPTA is currently advancing an array of initiatives, including trolley modernization, bus revolution, and reimagining regional rail. Along with efforts to address a $5.1 billion vehicle and infrastructure state of good repair backlog, fulfill our commitment to make the Broad Street and Market Frankfurt lines fully accessible, and advance our zero emission bus program, the bulk of SEPTA's capital program is dedicated to imperatives, not choices. With a capital budget that is already the lowest among peer agencies, SEPTA must be careful to ensure that new worthwhile projects do not supplant current initiatives that are integral. Has local and state funding to compete for critical federal investment. SEPTA is grateful to Representatives Hohenstein and Waxman for introducing local funding options, legislation, and Transportation Committee Chairman Nielsen for his leadership. And SEPTA is working to build support for this critical funding tool. Thank you for holding this hearing and providing a venue for our partners and our stakeholders to share their knowledge and enthusiasm for transit. I look forward to answering your questions and hearing from the other panelists. Thank you.
Thank you, Jennifer. I have a question on the lines of what Councilman Curtis Jones asked regarding the cost, and you gave a very, very detailed summary of some of the fiscal challenges that you're facing right now and kind of maintain your current capital projects. What is the significant? What is the dollar amount that, if the legislation that passes on a state level, which I'm pretty confident that it will, under the leadership of Chairman Nielsen, also working in partnership with the Philadelphia delegation chair, Morgan Cephas, and the chairperson of appropriations, who I spoke to directly about this issue. Actually, I spoke to all three of them about this issue. Now, what's the actual dollar amount that the legislation would produce for SEPTA as we embark upon this upcoming fiscal cliff?
For operating.
approximately $190 million for our operating fiscal cliff. So our need is $240 million. This legislation as proposed is $190 million.
Okay. Thank you very much. Any other questions or comments from members of the committee?
I just wanted to answer Councilman Jones's question from earlier. Yes, my apologies.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Councilman Jones, you want to reiterate your question?
Yes, please. Based on the current configuration of that subway, and I'm assuming it's going to go at least to Bucks County, how many stops would be proposed in that continued construction?
Based upon the Route for Change work that we collaborated with previously, we were looking at 12 stations over 12 miles, and that includes stations in Bucks County.
What are the estimated amounts of ridership that could be picked up, including that route?
That's a great question. That's something that we really... working with PennDOT currently on in terms of modeling with the alternative study in terms of what we think the overall ridership could be.
Have there been cost comparisons to look at light rail versus the subway continued construction?
No, that is also part of the current study with PennDOT. Don't have those numbers quite yet.
Last question. What do you think the impact on congestion on the boulevard would be by the completion of this subway?
Another excellent question. I think this is one of the things that we worked really closely with PennDOT and the City of Philadelphia and Bucks County with previously, is that whatever intervention or whatever mode gets chosen or selected for Roosevelt Boulevard in terms of public transportation, there'd be a major reconfiguration of Roosevelt Boulevard in terms of how the lanes would work, how much carrying capacity there would be for personal vehicles and trucks. And those things need to be weighed against each other. I think the bigger the intervention is in terms of mass transit, how much dedicated right-of-way we're given, the frequency of service and the carrying capacity of that service all impacts how many people we can take on board mass transit and really do a mode shift from people needing to rely upon a personal vehicle to get around. So that is definitely something that we're going to be working closely with PennDOT on modeling. It could be a very significant impact, but it is something we need to work closely with and see what people are comfortable with in terms of really reimagining Roosevelt Boulevard in terms of how many lanes, how they're configured, and what mode gets chosen.
And finally, what I would ask is to look at how the impact of that might deal with the dangerous roadway that we face. It's one of the most dangerous roads in the city of Philadelphia. So understanding how, by adding the subway cars, how that might reduce some of the hazards riding up and down Roosevelt Boulevard. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You're welcome. Any other questions or comments from members of the committee? Hearing none, would a clerk please call the next panel, please?
Next to speak, we have State Senator Sharif Street.
Thank you.
How are you?
I'm well, Councilman, members. Appreciate the opportunity to present. How are you all doing today?
We're doing fantastic. If you could just state your name for the record, and you can begin your testimony.
So I'm State Senator Sharif Street, Sharif, S-H-A-R-I-F, as in Frank Street, S-T-R-E-E-T. I represent the 3rd Senatorial District in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, which begins in the heart of North Philadelphia and runs up to the county line along Broad Street. And my district runs east, which would include significant portions of the the Roosevelt Boulevard and Broad Street. And the reason that's particularly significant for me is much of the construction, at least the portion that from Broad Street probably all the way out to about 8th Street along the boulevard would be in my district. And then I represent at least one side of all of the North Broad corridor where Broad Street Sub would run from Fern Rock all the way down to Spring Garden Street Station. Look, I think this is a great idea for a host of reasons. First and foremost, it would improve it'll improve safety and functionality of our mass transit system by allowing people to take the subway or light rail. And by the way, I'm agnostic on the issue of whether it's light rail or subway cars, but do think rail service is needed. It would allow folks to take rail service to Broad Street and then connect at Broad Street and get in the center city. Doing that would significantly reduce, would have the potential to significantly reduce the number of cars coming off the boulevard going to North Broad Street, where if anyone drives there, you know, there's the congestion builds up right there and during rush hour can go from Hunting Park all the way down to City Hall at some points, at least down to Vine Street. I think that is a positive. Reducing that congestion would reduce the amount of time that cars are idling, which would improve efficiencies for everyone, would also make even those cars that are still driving, if they can get to their destination faster with less idling, it would reduce the carbon footprint of those cars traveling. And it would improve the quality of life people because it would reduce their commute, whether you're on the rail or on the car. Additionally, we have to look at the possibility there will be people doing what we often call reverse commuting, which are people who live in North Philadelphia and in other parts of the city where they're particularly low income that might want to go to retail jobs out in Bucks County or the greater Northeast. Right now, if you want to get a job, if you live in North Philadelphia or West Philadelphia even or South Philadelphia, and you want to get to the greater Northeast and if you're not traveling by car, it's an inordinate amount of time to get to the Neshaminy Mall Philadelphia Mills Mall, or any of those places where there are lots of retail jobs. Those retail jobs could be really important to low-income families and could change life, but may not be practical if you have a commute that could be in excess of an hour because you don't have access to a car. And I think my last studies I saw, roughly 35% of the population of Philadelphia are without vehicles. Many of those people living in row houses along Broad Street, where it is ordinarily unnecessary. So I think it would therefore improve the economies of both Philadelphia and Bucks County. Finally, it will help move us into a more modern era, and it can continue to expand what is really one of the finest systems for rail. And I will say, look, there's been a lot of talk about how we improve transportation, how we get people out of cars. Without casting shade on people who want to ride bicycles, and I love riding bikes as a recreational matter, I think that the culture of Philadelphians is much more suited to get masses of people to ride rail than it is to use bikes for transportation. And so I think making this kind of investment would get people off and would achieve goals that we've often talked about in terms of getting people off of, out of cars and reducing our carbon footprint. It would improve the ability for people who are traveling from suburban areas or from far out parts, parts of the city in the Northeast to Center City who choose to continue to use cars because there'd be less congestion on the road. And it would allow people who might want to commute the other way, who are low income, they'll more likely be seeking retail jobs out in the far Northeast or in Lower Buck. For all those reasons, I think this makes a lot of sense. And then finally, it is not lost upon me that there will be a significant number of construction jobs involved in this. And while that's not why we do this, these public works projects invariably have a positive impact on the economy. Construction workers are going to eat at restaurants. They're going to come from regular families, and they will make a significant contribution. So I will say that I would support allocations from the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. I'd be willing to advocate to both Senate and House leadership as well as the governor to have the Commonwealth play a role in working with the city to secure funding for this project. I want to thank Councilman Driscoll for his leadership in this regard.
Thank you very much, Senator. Before I open it up to members of the committee, I have a question. For this upcoming budget, what's the budget surplus that's projected?
Current budget surplus is projected at $8 billion in the Commonwealth, with $6 billion in a rainy day fund, for a total of roughly $14 billion in unallocated funds. At least $3 billion of that is structural, meaning that we expect that to be recurring revenues for multiple cycles. So surplus is likely to grow unless we increase our spend.
Good. I just wanted to get an idea. The reason why I asked the question, Jennifer Dockery talked about, I think she said that is legislation that's floating right now, if passed, would produce $190 million, and their overall budget is $200-plus million. And so I just wanted to get an idea that number in the grand scheme of the overall budget that's on the state level that could be supportive of SEPTA efforts as we run out of the support that they have.
I will, Councilman, to that point, if I can add, look, there was a bill that came out of the House already, a tax code bill that significantly, I think, increased dedicated funding for mass transit by about 40%. That bill successfully came out of the Senate Appropriations Committee, and I anticipate that those provisions will be enacted in the law.
Good. Thank you very much, Senator. Any questions, comments from members of the committee? Okay, hearing none. As always, good to see you, Senator Sharif Street.
Good to see you, Councilman.
You too. Will the clerk please call the next panel, please?
Next to speak, we have Representative Joe Hohenstein, Representative Jared Solomon, Representative Patrick Gallagher, Representative Anthony Bellman, Representative Ben Waxman, and Representative Tariq Khan.
Thank you. I'm going to start with my representative, part of the 2nd Councilmatic District, Ben Waxman. Can you start us off? Well, welcome to the council hearing, my state colleagues on the state level. Good to see everybody. Ben, just state your name for the record and please begin your testimony.
Yes, thank you so much, Councilman, and I am proud that my councilman is the one who is leading this hearing. We get excellent representation in our district at the council level. It is great to be here with so many, advocates as well as elected officials who have been really working on this issue for a long time. There are others on this call who have been working longer than me, and so I'll turn it over to them in a moment. But I would say the number one thing for me as a state representative who represents primarily downtown as well as communities that are directly adjacent to downtown or in Center City, we don't just see this as a subway line that will help those in the Northeast. We see it very much as part of Center City's recovery and coming back from COVID, because we believe it will make it much easier for people from the Northeast all the way to Bucks County to come into Center City and use our retail outlets, restaurants, all of those things. So this is, and the same in terms of Center City residents taking advantage of all the things that are available in the Northeast, including restaurants and cultural institutions that you really can't find in Center City. So this is something that I really strongly believe will help everyone. It will help every part of Philadelphia that is touched by this. It will benefit every neighborhood. That includes Center City and every other neighborhood that will be touched by this project. And so with that, I will turn it back to you, Councilman, for my colleagues.
Thank you very much. Representative Jared Solomon, please state your name for the record. Regain your testimony, please.
How you doing, Chairman? Jared Solomon, J-A-R-E-D-S-O-L-O-M-O-N, 202nd Legislative District. It's good to be with you, Chair, and good to be with you, Council members. So this is an opportunity, and I appreciate Councilman Driscoll's leadership on this issue. This is an opportunity for us in Philadelphia to do something big, bold, and transformational. Big, bold, and transformational, those are not words just reserved for New York and LA and other cities. Those are words that we can embrace. And when you think of big, bold, and transformational, the last time that the type of transformational project has happened in Northeast Philadelphia is over 5 decades. We had the Roosevelt Boulevard in 1902. We had the Tacony-Palmyra Bridge in 1929. And the Market Frankfurt L was the last one, and that was in 1968. We can change that by embracing this effort. And as the councilman pointed out, and others have pointed out, this would mean union jobs for a generation, a positive environmental impact that we have never seen before in our city, a public works project up and down the boulevard from the Bucks County line all the way into Center City that we have never seen, an inclusive development that uplifts people, moves people from poverty to middle income jobs that would be transformational for many in our region. It's also an opportunity for us to all work together, local, state, and federal. When is the last time that we've gotten on a call like this where everyone agrees? I don't think anyone's opposed to this project. So let's all work together and get something big, bold, and transformational done for our city and region. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Lowell Bryant, Representative Anthony Bellum, please state your name for the record. Begin your testimony.
Thank you, Chairman. I appreciate the opportunity to come and present to you guys today. My name is Anthony Bellman. I'm the state representative for the 203rd Legislative District, which is Burholm, Longcrest, Lawndale, Oxford Circle, Alleny, and Castor Gardens, all in Lower Northeast Philadelphia. When I'm walking around and I'm talking to my constituents, a lot of people say that the Northeast is disconnected from the rest of the city. And they would love to be able to get from the Northeast to Center City a lot easier, a lot quicker, and a lot cheaper. And I think that what we're talking about here today with the extension of the Broad Street line, all of those things are going to be able to help my constituents. Currently, I sit both on the Commerce Committee and the Transportation Committee in the Pennsylvania House. And the Roosevelt Boulevard subway proposal really stood out to me because of the benefits that it could have for my district and for Northeast Philadelphia. Jared, Rep. Solomon already knows that we have some of the best restaurants in the city. And I think the rest of Philadelphia should find out how great our restaurants actually are. And one way to do that would be to make sure that it's easier to get to our restaurants. Another reason is that the current average commuting time for workers in my district is 38 minutes, and that's 14% above the state average. And a subway would help cut down that commuter time for workers in my district. This project is realistic. I think this project is attainable. But in order for us to make it happen, we really do need all hands on deck. And this is working on the city, state, and the federal level. Ever since I've learned about this project, I've always heard that there's always been sort of an idea, right? This is a 100-year-old idea that has just never happened because the political will for it just hasn't been there. Yeah. I think the political will for it is there now. I think with the infrastructure dollars from the federal government, we can actually see it come to pass. And I hope that I will do everything in my power from this seat.
Excuse me one second. Can you come by tomorrow? Excuse me. Can everybody put their phone order with the computer on mute, please. Thank you. Representative Bellman, please finish your testimony.
No problem. I'll just do everything within my power from the seat in order to make it happen. And thank you, Chairman. Thank you to members of the committee. And thank you to Councilman Driscoll for his leadership on this as well.
Thank you very much, Representative Bellman. And I was just up in the Northeast at a restaurant called Michelangelo's, and the food was great. I do understand that it did take me literally an hour to come from South Philly along 95, like literally an hour to get there, right? And so I believe from a transportation, an equitable transportation standpoint, this would be great for the Northeast. But I do want to attest that the food at Michelangelo's was great. The pizza was outstanding. And I had a real, real good time. And so I'll be back actually later on this week. So keep up the good work. Next, my good friend Joe Holstein. Go ahead. State your name for the record, please.
Thank you, Councilmember. Yep. Joseph Hohenstein. I'm the state representative for House District 177. And I'm a lifetime SEPTA rider, mostly on the Frankfurt L. And we all know you can't get to heaven from there, but you can get to Frankfurt. I just want to make sure this body understands what we need to do in Harrisburg is to convince Harrisburg that this isn't just good for Philly. It's good for the rest of the state as well. Now, SEPTA does a decent job of presenting what the facts and figures are, the contracts that they have, and the way that a project like this will impact not just Philadelphia and the surrounding collar counties, but also the state as a whole. And I think any message that city council sends to Harrisburg with a resolution or with, you know, an ordinance or whatever it is you guys are going to do, the message to us needs to be, this is going to help the entire Commonwealth, because we know that mass transit does do that. Even if we're only talking about increasing the ability for people to get to work and work in jobs that are family sustaining and create revenue for the state, that revenue goes back to the state. And the tradition is that Philadelphia puts more in tax revenue than it gets back out. And that can be and should be a real important piece of the message. I think one of the other thing a number of my colleagues have already talked about, which is really key, is the unity that we have around these issues. You are talking with no fewer than six of us today, I think, or five or six of us today. And that's just the folks who got on this hearing from the House of Representatives. And I know the Senate is really unified with this from our delegation standpoint. And what we need to do, and this, I want to make sure there's a distinction. The bill that we passed just last week for the tax code is related to SEPTA's operational funding. We need bills like the one that Rep. Waxman has proposed, that I've proposed. There are a couple of other ideas as well to make sure there's additional local funding for the capital projects that the subway really is sort of, to my way of thinking, the crown jewel of all of the different capital projects that SEPTA's considering. But we need to be able to do that. And in order to do that, having a good, strong backing coming from the city is going to give us that impetus to be able to have our colleagues in Harrisburg both recognize the value of mass transit in Philadelphia for the entire Commonwealth and also give us the local tools to be able to raise revenue here in Philadelphia and some of the surrounding counties so that we have the capital funding that will allow SEPTA to take advantage of the federal money as well. And with that, one last thing I just want to note, and I know Rep. Solomon, you didn't mention it, but the semi-quincentennial is coming up, the 250th anniversary of our nation. And Jared, I know, sits on that commission. And that is going to be one of many events that we can showcase what Philadelphia is and about. And we at least should be able to, at that point, showcase that the subway is coming, even if we don't have it built by then. So thank you for the opportunity to testify, and I thank my former colleague and council member Driscoll for his leadership on the issue, and all of you for taking the reins on this and really getting it moving forward. So thank you.
Thank you. And thank you very much for highlighting the importance of showing the state as a whole, right? I wasn't there when you were there, but I'm a former member, so I get the importance of showing legislators from Allegheny County, right, that this is important. But I also recognize that we put more in the pot, right, as a region than we get back. And so I'm just excited about the leadership that we have up there now to take us to the next level to make sure the city of Philadelphia gets a return on our investment. Thank you very much. Representative Tariq Khan, please just state your name for the record and begin your testimony, my friend.
Thank you. I'm State Representative Tariq Khan. I represent the 194th District in Northwest Philadelphia. That includes East Falls, Manayunk, Roxborough, Chestnut Hill, and Wissahickon. Chair Johnson, thank you so much for convening this meeting. I want to thank Councilmember Driscoll for your leadership on this issue. I want to give a shout out to my Councilmember Curtis Jones, who worked a lot within our community on projects, and he's a great partner. I want to also say hello to the other council members and thank them for their work. And finally, I just want to also thank the community advocates, including Fifth Square and the Bicycle Coalition, who have been fighting for this and really raising this up. And last but not least, I want to thank my colleagues from Philadelphia on the call, especially our chair of our Veterans Committee, Jared Solomon, who's also my childhood friend from the North. So I want to start off just by saying that, I grew up in Northeast Philadelphia, and this really would have been a huge benefit, having something like the Roosevelt Boulevard subway. I would have been able to get home a lot earlier in high school from Center City, but I could have transferred from the Broad Street line to a Welsh Grant Boulevard stop. My father was an engineer for the city, and he actually built the airport line that brought people who were commuting from the airport back to Center City so they didn't take other transports. Because before, people were having to take taxis all the time, and we didn't really have that strong infrastructure. This is right along that line of making sure this world-class city, Philadelphia, has a world-class infrastructure, transit infrastructure. This project, as mentioned, will bring union work to workers across the region. This is going to benefit all of our unions. Every union that I can think of would benefit directly from this, including the participation of the labor for it in creating this line. I think also, which is extremely relevant to Northwest Philadelphia, is that the climate crisis severely impacts Philadelphia and my community. And we need a transit-forward policy that reflects the situation that we're in. During Hurricane Ida, the Schuylkill River flooding devastated residents and merchants in East Falls and Manayunk. And we need to make sure we are taking interventions to mitigate our climate crisis. Switching from cars to public transit like the Roosevelt Boulevard subway will reduce CO2 emissions by nearly half. It would also increase worker productivity, making it easier for people like who live in my community to be able to get to work, meaning less time to drive, more time to work and live. I want to also just say about the return on investment to Northwest Philadelphia and to our city. We know that investment in transit can yield about 50,000 jobs per $1 billion invested and offers anywhere from a 2-to-1 to a 4-to-1 economic return. I finally want to say, as a nurse practitioner, that the health benefits of taking the train will be that public transit brings health benefits along with the economic return. More than three times of let me say it this way. Your physical activity is about three times more than when you are taking public transit than when you drive. So you're three times more active when you are taking public transit to getting your stop and then traveling to your destination than if you're driving in a car. And we know that being active lowers the risk for heart disease, diabetes, high pressure, and depression, and reduces stress. I can't talk about unions, by the way, without mentioning the good people from TWU, who will be the ones that are operating the this Roosevelt Boulevard subway. It's from TW-234. So this is a win-win-win. This is a win for our residents. It's a win for the economy, and it's a win for our labor, and a win for our climate. Thank you so much, Chair Johnson. I appreciate the time to testify.
Thank you very much. Representative Gallagher, thank you for your patience as well. I watched your leadership around the I-95 issue, working with the other elected officials in the area, and just want to say hello and just state your name for the record to begin your testimony.
Thank you, Chairman. I appreciate that. My name is Patrick Gallagher, State Representative from the 173rd Legislative District. I represent Northeast Philadelphia in the areas of Holmesburg, Mayfair, Upper Holmesburg, East Tarsdale, Winchester Park. this affects my district hugely because I represent down the boulevard from Cottman Avenue to almost all the way up to Welsh Road. And this would be a game changer for a lot of those people that live on the corridor there. Getting to public transportation from that area sometimes, especially the rails, is especially difficult when they have to take two or three trains or buses to get to, say, the Frankfurt L or to the rails on the other side of the boulevard. So this would make life a lot easier for my constituents and for the area. And I want to, echo the same sentiments of my colleagues in both the House and the Senate, that this is an absolute game changer for southeastern Pennsylvania, for northeast Philadelphia and the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, for all the reasons stated before, economics, for jobs, for labor, there's not a box that's not being checked in this program. And another thing is this is also a great idea because a lot of my constituents in my community are row homes with not access to cars. So this makes it a lot easier to get access to all the great things that come with living in the city of Philadelphia. You know, it's not just a one-way transit option here. You know, you have Northeast residents looking to go down to Center City, and same thing with Center City residents looking to come up to the Northeast to celebrate what we have to offer up here and for us to experience what Center City has to offer for us down there. So it's not a hugely one-sided thing here. I think it's going to benefit everywhere and everybody in the city of Philadelphia. And I think it's just a great project and happy to get behind it. And I know all the colleagues that have spoken before me are looking forward to supporting this in Harrisburg in any way, shape, or form possible. And I want to thank the committee for having a hearing on this, Chairman Johnson. And I want to thank Councilman Driscoll for leading the charge on this. I think you guys are all doing a wonderful job, and thanks for letting me speak.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from members of the committee? Well, I want to thank all of you for taking time out of your schedule and participating in the hearing. Just want you to know that all of you working together on one mission, rowing in the same direction, is very, very empowering. And so let's continue to move this ball forward. And again, thank you for taking your time out of your schedule and showing us how very important and critical this issue is to Northeast Philadelphia. Thank you very much. Will the clerk please call? There's a question. Joe, I see your hand is raised.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
First off, I actually had my hand up since the SEPTA representative there, just looking for her name there.
Jennifer Dockery.
Yes.
Just so you know how this works, normally people participate in the panels, right? Are you speaking on behalf of what organization, if you don't mind me asking?
Hello, yes.
Obviously, my concerns would be that of public transportation, the citizens. I'm a civic association member as well as the Transport Workers Union representative here on the call today.
Absolutely. Are you here to participate as a panelist?
Well, you asked if I had any questions, so I raised my hand. And that's okay. Like I said, I didn't know if it was, for me, able to
answer. Yes. It's all right, Joe. I'll use my latitude, but when I say ask if there aren't any questions, I'm referring to members of the actual committee. That's gotcha. All. But go ahead and ask your question, Joe.
I was just wanting to know where you based your 12 miles on when you discussed the project. Jennifer.
Thanks, Joe. That number comes from the Root for Change study, which we worked with the City of Philadelphia, Bucks County, and PennDOT on. So that it comes from previous study that was looking at both short-term 2025 improvements and 2040 improvements. So that is the length of the corridor that was studied. So basically from Broad Street / Hunting Park Avenue out to about Neshaminy, Old Lincoln Highway in Bucks County.
And that starting point again was where?
Hunting Park Avenue, Broad Street.
Okay. When you said 12 miles, I thought you may have been referring to the Frankfort Transportation Center. It's approximately 12 miles from there to Street Road, as opposed to the Alamy Transportation Center, which would have been twice that amount. So I was just trying to see where SEPTA's head was at when it's figuring out the costs, because those costs are awfully high. And I was hoping at some point I could address those.
Yes, so this comes from the previous study, Root for Change. It's available on the city's website. That is what we're basing, and SEPTA's working with PennDOT on, and our other stakeholder partners to do further study and refinement of the alternatives.
Right, and you mentioned subways. When the subway costs, the minute you put a shovel in the ground, the cost of the project is going to quadruple, as opposed to light rail or ultra light rail. So I was just curious to know why you would be looking into the subway option, which would virtually kill the project from the start, as opposed to a much more affordable option, similar to what we already have.
And as a commander, Joe, if you don't mind, because you have your own time allotted for you to do your panel, which is no problem. And Jennifer's going to stick around, and you can take your panel time. You want to go as long as you want, ask her questions. I think it'll be appropriate to do it at that particular time. And so Jennifer from SEPTA will stick around. And when your time comes up on your panel, you'll have the ability to ask as many questions that you would like, okay?
Fair enough. Thank you.
And thank you. To the members of the House delegation, as well as the Senate, we thank you for your time to come down and do your testimony today. Thank you very much. Would a clerk please call the next panel?
Next to speak, we have Dr. Eric Goldwin, Jay Arzu, and Nick Zuila Rogers.
Please state your name for the record and please begin.
I guess I'll go first. My name is Eric Goldwin, G-O-L-D-W-Y-N. I'm a professor at New York University, and I study transit projects across the country and across the world. Thanks for having me here today. What's most exciting about this as a professor and a researcher is that I usually look at things that have been completed, not things that are sort of in the process of being built. In reading over some historical documents on this project, there were some questions about ridership and cars taken off the roadway. The numbers that I've seen are quite encouraging. The ridership estimate from a 2003 study was 125,000 riders per day. And to put this into context, in the United States, there is not another transit project other than in New York City, the Interborough Express and phase two of the Second Avenue subway, that get over 100,000 riders per day. So this is extremely exciting. There's a project in the Bay Area. It's an extension of BART to San Jose. It's going to have about 33 to 50,000 riders per day. Seattle's projects also in that 40 to 50,000 riders per day ballpark. So you're talking about double, triple what other rail projects are seeing in the U.S. So that is extraordinarily exciting for someone like me. I study the cost drivers of transit projects in particular. There was someone just talking about the minute you put a shovel in the ground, it becomes very expensive. That's true. American projects in general, on average, are about $1 billion a mile, which is too high. You look at other parts of the world, it's closer to $350 million a mile. There are a lot of things we can do to bring those costs down. One thing that's interesting, I think, about this project, it's 12 stations. You look at other projects around the country, they're much smaller in length. And so there's not as many opportunities for standardization and sort of learning as you go. I think with this project, with 12 stations, you can design sort of a single standard station other than where you have sort of interfaces with other lines and really sort of squeeze out the efficiencies and optimize as much as possible. So I think it's a great project. I'm really excited to sort of see how it develops. And obviously I see some hands up. So if there are any questions, please let me know. And go Phillies.
Go Phillies. That's right. Can the clerk please call the next panelist?
Next to speak, we have Jay Arzoop.
Thank you very much, Chairman, for giving me this opportunity to speak. My name is Jay Arzu. I am a PhD student in city and regional planning at the Penn Weitzman School of Design. I did prepare, a brief statement, but instead of doing that, I will be instead reading a statement from PennDOT. PennDOT will not be on this call today, unfortunately, but they did have some updates for their Route for Change program that I wanted to share. So if I could briefly do that, sir.
Absolutely. Just state your name for the record and please read your statement.
Absolutely. Okay. Jay Arzu, J-A-Y, last name Arzu, A-R-Z-U. So just to read from the PennDOT's document, the Route for Change program vision intends to transform Roosevelt Boulevard by enhancing safety, accessibility, and reliability along Roosevelt Boulevard for all users, including pedestrians, by supporting local, regional travel needs, changing land use patterns, enhancing connectivities and mobility to local communities while promoting economic opportunities. As the next phase of the Route for Change program, the department has initiated a two-tiered evaluation process that will be used to select a preferred alternative. A screening study will further refine the two general roadway alternatives initially identified into specific alternatives. They will then compare and analyze the six specific alternatives and recommend three or six specific alternatives for more analysis. So now I will read the different alternatives. For reference, the two high-level 2040 roadway alternatives initially identified, alternative one, partially capped expressway with surface transit, light rail, or bus rapid transit. Alternative two, neighborhood boulevard with surface transit, light rail, or BRT. As part of phase B, full 2040 alternatives analysis, four additional alternatives will be considered. Alternative three, partially capped expressway with a subway. Alternative four, neighborhood boulevard with subway. Alternative five, blended roadway configuration with surface transit, light rail or BRT. And lastly, alternative six, blended roadway configuration with subway. Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to reiterate this information from PennDOT. I wish that they could have been here to explain this themselves, but it looks very so that PennDOT is moving forward with subway alternatives as included in its Route for Change Part B project. So we will be moving forward. We have a plan there, and I will give the floor back to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I just want to acknowledge you for your hard work and your dedication on this particular project. So I am well aware of the work you have been doing as a Penn student and your passion around this particular project. Would a clerk please call the next panelist, please?
Last to speak on this panel, we have Nick Zuwala-Rogers.
Hi. My name is Nick Zuwala-Rogers. I'm the Transportation Program Director at Clean Air Council. Thanks for the opportunity to give this testimony today. The council is a member-supported environmental advocacy organization whose mission is to protect everyone's right to a healthy environment. And I've been asked to come and explain why Clean Air Council supports enhanced high-quality transit service on Roosevelt Boulevard, including a subway, combined with a reimagined boulevard that prioritizes safety and neighborhood connectivity, and the reasons why we believe it's good for the environment. We're in an age of a climate crisis. Natural disasters are happening at increasing rates, We're seeing record year after record year of high temperatures. And this past year, our region experienced an abnormally high number of air quality action days where it was difficult to breathe here in Philadelphia. We need to act now in order to see meaningful reductions in carbon emissions fast enough that we avoid the worst impacts of climate change. Transportation is the leading source of climate emissions, and private autos are the largest part of that sector, that's larger than air travel or freight movement. Transportation and its associated congestion and idling also cause local air pollution, which has a major negative impact on the health of people in the region. Residents near major roadways like the Boulevard are more likely to suffer greater rates of asthma and other respiratory illness, as well as cardiovascular disease. And as such, shifting people to public transit is an environmental and public health imperative, and high-quality service that is fast, frequent, reliable, clean, and safe is the only way we can convince people to become transit riders. And that's why creating a high-quality transit service like a subway on Roosevelt Boulevard is so crucial. The Boulevard serves roughly a third of Philadelphia residents and carries 90,000 vehicles on it daily at its highest point. Currently, around 20,000 people use bus service on the Boulevard every day, but ridership could be so much higher if people had a truly high-quality option that was more convenient than using a car. Subways and high-speed trolleys only get people where they're going faster than a car in urban environments. They emit just 0.28 pounds per passenger mile of carbon dioxide compared to 0.87, which is more than triple from personal autos. A subway or other high-quality service that not only replaces trips along this road, but also efficiently connects service into the rest of SEPTA's system, including the Broad Street line serving Center City, is the solution we need to reduce emissions and improve air quality in Philadelphia. While high quality and high speed transit service along the Boulevard would be an incredible addition to the existing transit system, it must go hand in hand with completely redesigning the Boulevard in a way that prioritizes pedestrian, cyclist, and driver safety. In its current form, Roosevelt Boulevard is one of the most dangerous roads in America. It's a road that was built to prioritize vehicle speed over safety, and statistics show this. Between 2012 and 2021, 119 people were killed in crashes along the Boulevard, including 49 pedestrians. In order for people to safely access a Roosevelt Boulevard subway in the future, the dangerous road conditions must be addressed. Removing cars while keeping the roadway the same has the potential to exacerbate dangerous speeding or even induce more demand for vehicles to take their place, if not done as part of a holistic redesign of the Boulevard. Transportation departments and transit agencies should partner together in this project to include right-sizing the road, as 12 or more lanes would no longer be necessary, and they already aren't. Since the installation of speed cameras along the Boulevard, the rate of fatal crashes has slowed, and a recent federal grant to make incremental safety improvements along the roadway will be long overdue. But a complete redesign has the opportunity to build on this success by creating more people-centric places like wide sidewalks, trails, and green spaces along the corridor, which will make the road safer and more accessible to pedestrians. This reallocation of space can also have additional environmental benefits, as green stormwater infrastructure can be installed to reduce the effects of flooding and water pollution from the urban environment. If we're thinking big, like building a new subway, and we should be, we need to think big enough to complete the entire project and provide high-quality transit service, safe bicycle and pedestrian access to connect neighborhoods along the Boulevard, and a safe roadway for vehicles. People need access to the future subway in order to use it, and they need to be safe doing so. The good news is we have the opportunity now to think big. Generational federal investment in infrastructure is available now, but we need to raise local funds to be able to match this investment and access the federal resources. We need city council and local leaders to advocate in Harrisburg for the passage of enabling legislation to raise local funds for transit, and we need this body to act again once that legislation passes. We must act now. Philadelphia residents deserve environmental and public health benefits from high-quality transit on the Boulevard, and we can't wait any longer. I encourage you to move forward in supporting the Boulevard subway in conjunction with redesigning the Boulevard itself to make it safer and to serve the surrounding communities in a better way. In addition to moving forward with plans, we need our local leaders to advocate for necessary legislation at the state level to make any of this possible. I appreciate your time considering Clean Air Council's testimony, and I look forward to engaging with you further on the issue.
Thank you very much, Nick, for your presentation. And when you talk about building this Northeast subway, railway, it also alludes to the fact of how we reduce our carbon footprint, also addressing the issue of global warming. It brings me to conversation I had with my two boys about 2 weeks ago, asking me why we don't have winter anymore. And I started talking to them about global warming, the impact of global warming on our city as well as on our earth. And so we thank you for your hard work, and we thank you for your advocacy around this particular project. Was there any questions or comments from members of the committee? Okay, hearing none, will the clerk please call the next panel?
For our next panel, we have Christopher Pochalski.
Good afternoon, Chairperson Johnson, members of the Committee on Transportation and Utilities. Thank you for the opportunity to appear before you today. My name is Christopher Pochalski. I'm the Director of Policy and Strategic Initiatives at the Office of Transportation, Infrastructure, and Sustainability, otherwise known as OTIS. And I'm here today to offer testimony on Resolution 230533. The Northeast needs better public transit, and OTIS is broadly supportive of the idea of a subway on Roosevelt Boulevard. Two important planning documents, the Philadelphia Transit Plan and the Roosevelt Boulevard Route for Change, both point to the need for significant transit investments along the boulevard. The idea of a subway on the boulevard is one that keeps coming up. This points to the intuitive benefits of this project. That it hasn't been built yet demonstrates the difficulties. The city is currently working with SEPTA and PennDOT to update the ridership forecasts and the conceptual costs for a subway. And I believe some of those numbers from the last study 20 years ago were cited already today in this hearing. A subway would provide significant mobility benefits to the Northeast. Better transit improves equity, reduces greenhouse gas emissions, reduces traffic fatalities, increases Philadelphia's economic competitiveness, and would allow for a reimagining of the Roosevelt Boulevard right away by removing thousands of vehicles a day from that facility. It would also invigorate the already dynamic neighborhoods all along the boulevard, and I will, for one, second the chairperson's comments about the excellent food in the Northeast. My favorite restaurant's Uzbekistan, myself. Yet the challenges and implications of a subway are significant, and we should begin this endeavor with open eyes and a sober disposition. The capital costs will be larger than anything this region has seen in at least 40 years. While updated cost estimates will not be available for several months, it is certain that the engineering and planning costs alone will be more than the city's annual capital budget for transportation. While the local funds required for match for construction, match for any federal and state funds, that is, will be multiples of SEPTA's yearly capital budget. Those matching funds will either need to come from increases in taxes or from diverting from other capital investments in the city, fixing existing transit stations, new rail vehicles and buses, paving and ADA ramps, schools, parks, or some other source. The money just has to come from somewhere, and we should be sober about that. Large rail projects also take many years to complete, with the environmental impact statement phase alone taking a medium time of over 4 years to complete, according to the Council on Environmental Quality and the Eno Foundation, and that's just the first stage of planning and design. We cannot wait for a possible subway to make improvements on Roosevelt Boulevard now. In the last 4 years, we undertook the landmark Route for Change study that produced the roadmap, and we received a federal mega grant for of $78 million for a $137 million project for short-term improvements that will save people's lives. We initiated the Direct Bus A service that saved transit riders over 30% of their travel time along the boulevard, and are currently working on Direct Bus B and bus-only lane projects that will be delivered in the next 4 years. Perhaps most significantly, we worked with city council, state legislators, PennDOT, PPA, and ordinary residents to pilot speed cameras that reduce speeding on the boulevard by over 90%. And I appreciate everyone on this call that voted for that pilot and who is supporting the renewal right now that is being worked through the State House. Delivering real improvements to transit riders on this corridor and the time it takes to complete the first phase of planning for a subway is not antithetical to future improvements, but helps build the transit markets in the Northeast. Just to summarize, a subway in the Boulevard has great promise and significant challenges, which we should explore while also moving aggressively to implement shorter-term traffic safety and transit improvements. Thank you for the opportunity to appear before you today. I would be happy to answer any questions you have at this time.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from members of the committee? Hearing none, would a clerk please call the next panel? Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
For our next panel, we have Ryan Boyer, Alex Riccio, and Joe Coscio.
Next panel.
I apologize. For our next panel, we have Ryan Boyer, Alex Riccio, and Joe Coscio.
Okay, can the clerk call the next panel? Let's move on. Mo Reshety and Sarah.
Mr. Chair, can you hear me now?
Yes, I hear you.
Okay, sorry, I think I might have had technical difficulties, but this panel, Ryan Boyer, Alex Riccio, and Joe Coscio. I believe Mr. Coscio is on the screen to speak.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am, I am.
Yep.
Okay.
Just
state your record and begin.
Yes, sir. Joe Coscio, Transport Workers Union. I just have a few things jotted down here. I just want to thank everyone for the consideration of the subway project and the significant job opportunities it's going to present for everybody, including our union members. It's not just about infrastructure. It's about investing in the communities, our workforce, and the city's future. The project will generate thousands of well-paying jobs, union and the like. The jobs will provide workers, their families with stable incomes, benefits, retirements, securities. The ripple effect will extend beyond the job site, benefiting local businesses and communities. Our union members and the building trades are all highly skilled, trained professionals, ready to contribute their expertise on the Roosevelt Boulevard subway project. Our union labor, we ensure quality workmanship, safety, efficiency throughout the construction and during the whole operating process. By utilizing union labor, I believe we all know that we invest in the best workforce and ensure the job is done correctly. Safety and quality, it's a top priority for us as well as it is for all of you here. We undergo rigorous safety training to prevent accidents and to ensure a secure work environment. We take pride in our craft, which leads to high quality construction and operations that stands the test of time. In our case, 80 years, 80 plus years, three transit agencies, 40 of which I've been here for, I hate to say. Union workers, we take pride in our craft, as I said, and when it comes to public infrastructure, safety and quality are non-negotiable, and we always deliver on both fronts. The project will breathe new life into the communities, boost local businesses, create a sense of pride, and reduce traffic congestion, very important on Route 1, needless to say, and everywhere for that matter in the city, lower emissions, make our cities more livable, more attractive, We're committed to working closely with local residents and stakeholders to minimize the disruptions and ensure the project's success. The long-term benefits, while they could be investing in the subject project as an investment in the future, it'll enhance our transportation operation options and improve the quality of life. It will have a lasting impact benefiting communities and future generations. Environmentally, needless to say, the project aligns with environmental goals by promoting mass transit, reducing the carbon emissions, and addressing climate change. We're dedicated to sustainable practices and support projects that continue to contribute to a greener future. In conclusion, in advocating for the subway project, we're not just advocating for jobs, but a brighter future for our communities, a more robust economy, and a more sustainable environment. We invite you to join us in supporting the project and ensuring that all benefits all, union workers, local communities, and future generations alike. Together, we can build a better, more connected, more prosperous future through the power of union labor and infrastructure investment and build that Broad Street subway extension. I'd just also like to point out a few things that we're talking about subways and we're talking about projects and costs. And money's always an object. Needless to say, whenever these things take place or they pop up, the United States is unfortunately the sixth most expensive country in the world to build a rapid rail infrastructure. And that hurts us. But there are cheaper alternatives. Subway is the best way to go, and I agree with everyone here, but that doesn't have to be the only way to go. Subway costs, for instance, could be upwards of $600 million per mile versus light rail, which could be $100 million per mile. Then you even have ultra light rail, which is a mere $15 million per mile. There's lots of options out there. And we all need to know that we should stay far away from any railroad because urban railroads, they cost the highest, and next to subways at least. So we have to look at light rail or ultralight rail, subway being the best, but probably the most expensive option we could face. As I say, when you put that shovel in the ground, all hell breaks loose, needless to say. So there are cheaper alternatives out there, and they're very viable and much easier, less intrusive, such as the ultralight rail. It interacts well with the city. It's very similar to what we run in Southwest Philly already, with the LRV trolley cars running down the same road as the cars, and the same in Media Sharon Hill. So it does work, and it is the cheapest, the least intrusive, and easiest one to attain. That's pretty much all I had to say, except thanks to everybody again.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Any questions or comments from members of the committee?
Yes, this is Butch Bennett with the Philadelphia Building Trades. I want to thank Councilman Kenya Jackson. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, Butch. I just have a question, though. Are you part of the panel, Butch?
I'll be speaking for Ryan Boyer.
Yes, so don't ask your question just yet because you're part of the panel, so we're going to call you next.
Okay.
Any questions, any questions or comments from members of our committee, Committee on Transportation and Public Utilities? Okay, at this moment, I'm going to call on Butch Bennett on behalf of Ryan Boyer, the Philadelphia Building Trades. Butch, go ahead and give your testimony. Good to hear from you as well.
It is excellent to be a part of this committee. And I'd just like to say, you know, when you have projects like this, I think we have to also think outside of the box. We know what the benefits of a subway on Roosevelt Boulevard would do for not only the community and workers trying to move around the city, but just think about the work that it would cause and the effect that it would have on the local unions. We would have to get more local people to join unions and to come into the building trades. So I think we're talking about building a subway, which is great, but it's also good career-sustaining project jobs. that these young people, what we worry about, that are out there, just no place to go and no hope. I think this will give them an outlook, and I think our city will be much safer, and I think we really would have to consider this massive undertaking that could change the dynamics for the young people in our city.
Thank you very much. Is anyone else here to testify on this panel? Any questions or comments for this panel? Thank you very much, both of you, for your testimony. Thank you, TWU, for the hard work that y'all are doing and keeping our city moving forward. Butchie, want to thank you and your hard work that you're doing with the Philadelphia Building Trades, making sure that we're building Philadelphia with good union paying jobs in the labor workforce. Thank you very much. Would a clerk please call the next panel?
On our next panel, we have Mo Rushdie and Sarah McGinnis.
Will Mo,
Mr. Chairman. Hello, Mr. Chairman. Mo is here. Thank you so much for having me today. My name is Mo Rushdie, and I am the current vice president of the Building Industry Association of Philadelphia. It's a trade association of mostly residential developers working throughout Philly, along with the professionals who provide them with the products and the services. I want to thank Chairman Johnson and the rest of the committee for allowing me to provide testimony today. And especially Councilman Driscoll for putting the spotlight on this issue with resolution number 230533. The BIA enthusiastically endorses the idea of really extending the Broad Street subway line into Northeast Philly along the Roosevelt Boulevard. And we applaud Councilman Driscoll for this vision and his vision and advocacy. Northeast Philly is one of the most underserved parts of the city in regards to public transportation. And the vast economic benefits of this extension will continue Philadelphia's emergence as a world-class city. The BIA are experts in housing, and the housing surrounding the Roosevelt Boulevard is dense and optimal to be served by rapid transit. In addition, there are many struggling strip malls with massive parking lots that can be developed into higher density, mixed income, a mixed use residential and commercial space if transit access was improved. There are not many neighborhoods left in Philly where one can develop without displacement. So this could really create tremendous opportunities to provide Philadelphians the workforce housing that they need adjacent to the transit that they desire without creating stress on nearby neighborhoods. The BIA for the last 15 years has urged council to improve citywide opportunities for transit-oriented development to maximize the amount of dense residential business. And I do know that SEPTA has already been working on these TOD legislations and leader spaces within walking distance of public transportation. The city has made some progress, but we have a long ways to go. And an extended Broad Street line into Northeast Philly could really unlock that potential and create an entire sustainable neighborhoods of pedestrians and transit riders. So the BIA really supports exploring this idea further, and we really thank the sponsor and all of council for allowing us to present our thoughts, and thank you for your consideration.
Next on this panel, we have Sarah McGinnis.
Sarah, go ahead, Sarah.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Chairperson Johnson and other members of the Committee on Transportation and Public Utilities. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to speak with all of you today. My name is Sarah McGinnis, Executive Director of NAIOP Greater Philadelphia, and today I am representing the Philadelphia Real Estate Alliance, or PREA. PREA is a coalition of four groups: NAIOP Greater Philadelphia, representing developers, owners, and related professionals in office, industrial, and mixed-use real estate; the Building Industry Association. Association, or BIA, the Building Owners and Managers Association, or BOMA, and the General Building Contractors Association, or GBCA. I'm here today to provide remarks regarding the potential impacts and benefits of an extension of the existing Broad Street subway line into Northeast Philadelphia and Bucks County along Roosevelt Boulevard. The idea of extending the Broad Street line to the Northeast was first proposed more than 100 years ago. In the century since, the need for the project has only become more pronounced. The Greater Philadelphia Chapter of NAIOP believes that extending the Broad Street line into the Northeast and beyond represents not just a crucial investment into that part of the city, but into our city as a whole. It will have enormous positive impacts on job creation, economic development, equity, safety, sustainability, and tourism. The project will provide fast and reliable public transit to the Northeast Philadelphia and Lower Bucks County, something that those living in that corridor need desperately. Northeast Philadelphia, as it stands right now, is relatively isolated. This project will connect residents to job opportunities that had previously been inaccessible or inconvenient. This added accessibility means that many workers who live in the Northeast and Bucks County will no longer have to shoulder the heavy financial burden of car ownership. This easier access to the Northeast also creates an increased opportunity for firms and businesses to locate their operations on or near this brand new state-of-the-art infrastructure. In turn, this will bring more people traveling into and out of the Northeast and more customers for local businesses. New housing will also develop along the corridor, allowing us to address our city's housing crisis. Ultimately, this project will have a cascading effect that will make it an economic development engine for decades to come. Another benefit at the heart of this project is that of equity. It is no secret that our communities in Northeast Philadelphia are some of our city's most underserved. Access to safe, reliable, and affordable public transportation is crucial. Public transit allows Philadelphians and suburban neighbors to get to work, visit their doctors, go grocery shopping, and patronize small businesses across the city. With this project, we are removing barriers that prevent far too many in that community from living healthy and prosperous lives. As Philadelphia looks towards the future, and as we prepare for a new city council term and a new mayor, projects like this are crucial for our success. Currently, Philadelphia is making plans to host the 2026 World Cup and put our city on display to the world. Projects like this will make Philadelphia a more accessible city for international visitors, allowing our great historic city to host even more top-tier events and live up to our status as a city of first class. Businesses small and large, the development community, and countless Philadelphians will all benefit from an extension of the Broad Street line into the Northeast and beyond. Through a robust public and private partnership, we can create a resource that our communities need to flourish and that our city needs to progress into the future. Thank you again for the opportunity to testify, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
You're welcome. Any other questions or comments from members of the committee? Hearing none, thank you for your testimony. Would a clerk please call the next panel?
On the next panel, we have Will Carter.
Will, can you speak? I'm doing good. How are you?
All right. Hold on, Councilman. Let me put on my readers. Hopefully this is not telling my age here. Councilman, good afternoon, Chairman Johnson and Councilman Driscoll and members of the Committee on Transportation and Public Utilities. My name is William Carter. I'm Vice President of Local Government Advocacy at the Chamber of Commerce for Greater Philadelphia, and I appreciate being here to speak about the impact of extending the Roosevelt Boulevard line. The Chamber believes that the future success of our region relies upon a growth strategy that builds a better business climate, accelerates economic competitiveness, and increases economic inclusion. Critical infrastructure investments that expand the use of multimodal nodes, highways, bridges, transit, ports, intercity passenger rail, and international airport are necessary to accommodate and accelerate the region's development. A post-COVID PennDOT study on investment in public transportation quantified the importance of investment in public transit and passenger rail service, direct expenditures to improve transportation infrastructure, and provide transit and rail services have a multiplier effect within Pennsylvania's economy This spending generates additional impacts in jobs throughout the supply chain and when employee earnings are recirculated as household spending. On an annual basis, pre-COVID, economic impacts from operating and capital activity to provide and maintain public transit and passenger rail service totaled $5.41 billion within Pennsylvania's economy. This activity supports nearly 39,000 jobs with $2.75 billion in employee compensation within the state. These jobs are a combination of direct employment by transportation providers and indirect jobs supported by their spending, according to the study. The economic impact, expands far outside of just job creation and economic activity. It provides employers greater access to workforce, increases employment opportunities for those living in our city and region, and accelerates our economic competitiveness. A multimodal transportation network also provides safe and equitable access to community resources like healthcare, education, public services, and recreational activities. Additionally, there's an environmental impact from reduction of carbon emissions, and individual riding transit reduces the carbon footprint by at least 55%. Roosevelt Boulevard is a major transportation corridor, as we all know, with upwards of 90,000 commuters. It's been touched on earlier. It touches more than 20 of the most diverse neighborhoods in our city and home to 1 in 3 Philadelphia residents, and connects us to Interstate 76 and the neighboring Bucks County. The Chamber has explored transportation investment opportunities in the past to include the Roosevelt Boulevard and issued a set of strategic improvements through our Connecting the Region analysis. In this report, the transformation of the 14-mile corridor would be achieved through dedicated lanes for rapid bus service, connecting Fern Rock Transportation Center and Wissahickon Transportation Center, and buffered bike lanes. Since then, the city launched the Route for Change initiative and was awarded $78 million in federal funding for interventions along the boulevard, which include business access transit, simpler and safer intersections, and transit priority. These improvements will enhance sector investments such as boulevard direct bus service, improved bus stops, and the currently under construction Wissahickon Transportation Center. The Chamber remains committed to working with key stakeholders, including those on this committee and at the state level, both public and private, to identify investment opportunities that increase our region's economic vitality, enhance our quality of life. Public transit investments help to achieve these goals, and we appreciate your City Council commitment to prioritizing and investing in inclusive growth. And we thank this committee and the sponsor of this resolution, Councilman Driscoll, and we look forward to working with them. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Will. Any other questions or comments from members of this committee? Okay, hearing none. Is anyone else here whose name has not been called to testify on this panel? Well, at this time, we want to take a brief pause to allow members who have registered for public comment to join us for a virtual meeting. We will now hear testimony for those who have signed up for public comment. I'm going to give the tech team an opportunity to take a brief pause so they can make sure that anyone that wants to participate in the public comment section, an opportunity for them to get on this hearing. Thank you.